Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Dalad, we're in chapter 30, Perek Lamed, about halfway through the chapter. We've been speaking about how much learning Torah is so much more than mitzvahs, that while a mitzvah, we say that a mitzvah can be extinguished by a sin, by an avera. There's a chazal that teaches that. However, Torah can never be extinguished. Torah is considered much more powerful. And then we also spoke about how if a person sees he has troubles, his surim are coming on him, sufferings are coming his way, so he should check which limb, which mitzvah he's not doing right, because each mitzvah parallels a different limb. But if he cannot find the solution, then he should go to this much stronger force, and that is Torah. He must say that Torah is the source. He can't find the source in terms of mitzvahs. He should look into Torah, because Torah can heal any part of the body. In fact, the whole body is healed by Torah. That's one idea we mentioned. We also mentioned that if Torah touches anything, if there's any mitzvah that's touched by Torah, so that can never be discarded. That retains its holiness forever. It's called Davar Shebekdusha, retains holiness forever. In other words, if you've got an object that you used for a mitzvah, so technically you can throw it away. As long as you don't show disregard or disrespect, you can throw it away. Whereas an object, let's say, that was touched by Torah, so for instance, even the boxes of the tefillin, even without the parshas, since the parshas were in the batim, in the boxes of the tefillin, so those boxes have our davar shebekdusha, they would need to be buried. So therefore we see that the Torah is a whole different level, it's from a much higher world than mitzvahs. So he says that this idea comes explicitly from a pasuk, from the pasuk, as we brought before, leis lecho amidi bidivrehim, zal deloyim miza bekroh. Because there is nothing that our sages have taught that's not referred to in the verses. And therefore we can align this idea, these ideas, with a verse that says kineh mitzvah v'teror. When the verse says that mitzvah is a lamp and Torah is light, in that verse we see many of these ideas contained. Gamal yedei zeh ha'inyan haniska. On this idea that we mention, api perushim zal hanal b'soita. These explanations we gave before from Soita, we said that we said that an item that's Torah is eternal, whereas an item that's a mitzvah is temporal. Maner eino meir ela lefisha. So the sages say on that verse, just like a lamp only lights for a while. If you have a lamp lit, but it doesn't stay forever. Maor meir ela, but light, the concept of light is the concept of light. It's always light. Light is light, and light is eternal. Also in terms of the protection and in terms of salvation from a person. Even though we spoke about how mitzvah can protect a person from harm, but Torah can actually save a person who's already in trouble. Torah can actually extract him from trouble. So therefore that's the power of Torah, much more, even more powerful than a mitzvah. And it also hints to the idea that we said before, that that the Torah is eternal, therefore it can never be disregarded, it has to be buried if you have to put it away, whereas a mitzvah doesn't have that holiness. And also, a further idea is the holiness and the life force and the light which exists in every single mitzvah, which we know sanctifies and enlivens, gives life to the person who fulfills a mitzvah. We know mitzvahs give a person life. The life power of a mitzvah, the fact that a mitzvah can enliven a person, and the fact that a mitzvah can sanctify a person, can elevate a person, that power of the mitzvah comes from the Torah itself. The fact that a mitzvah can give us power is a power that comes from the Holy Torah itself. Ki mitzvah leis le'nigam eshum chiyus kedusha. Because the mitzvah has no life force or no holiness in and of itself. The mitzvah is just a physical action. So therefore, a physical action could be no less really than any other physical action. It's like a person that goes swimming or skipping or jumping, whatever it is. It's a physical action. So maybe a mitzvah, which is a physical action, if it was not for the Torah, which would be giving its holiness and light and power, then the mitzvah itself would not have the power. The mitzvah gets all of its power only from the holiness of the Torah. And specifically those letters that are used to compose the mitzvah. When we read about the mitzvah in the Torah, so it's the letters with which the Torah writes the mitzvah that actually give the mitzvah its power and its holiness. And therefore, this idea also is hinted in the verse that we said that a mitzvah is a lamp, whereas Torah is life. Just like a lamp has no light. A lamp doesn't have light. A lamp is just a container for oil. You can put the oil in the container, you could put a wick there, but it has no light. The light comes from a source of light, which is the fire, which comes from light. Only that it's able to access the light. As the lamp is able to access light and it's able to give light. But it's not really something intrinsic to the lamp. It's just got this connection to the light. So same thing with the mitzvah. A mitzvah has a connection to the light. It's a connection to the Torah. But a mitzvah in and of itself doesn't have any light. Now certainly, right, this is something that we brought up last time. Certainly just being engaged in Torah alone. So what happens if a person says, well, then I only have to learn Torah. I don't have to do mitzvahs. If Torah is so much more powerful, if it comes from a higher world, so let me just study Torah. So he says, certainly, someone who just learns Torah, bli kiuma mitzvahs klal, without fulfilling mitzvahs at all, chas v'sholem, if you'd be like that, gam kein ein klum. Torah without the fulfillment of mitzvahs is nothing. A person just wants to sit and learn Torah, that's nothing. It's zero. As our sages have taught, Amru Chazal, someone who says, I have only Torah. I'm only interested in Torah. I'm not interested in mitzvahs. I'm just engaged in Torah. So even Torah he doesn't have. His Torah is zero. So, right, they tell stories of men who used to smoke cigarettes and learn Gemara on Shabbos. Right, they say such stories of such people. their Torah is not Torah. Maybe they're saying nice ideas, but they're not connecting to the Torah. Torah is about filling us. If it's filling us, we have to be living Torah. If we're not living Torah, then it's not Torah. If we're not absorbing Torah, it's not part of ourselves, and therefore we're not living it, therefore it's not Torah. In Perek Beis, the Brochus, it says in the Gemoin Brochus, Magala Bapume de Rova. Rova used to have a pearl of wisdom that he always used to say over. Tachlis Chochva, he said that the end purpose of wisdom, you know, the goal of all wisdom, the goal of wisdom is tshuva ma'asim tovim. The goal of wisdom, it brings a person to do tshuva, to return to Hashem, get close to Hashem, and to do good deeds. And if a person is full of wisdom, he will come to do good deeds. He will come to be a kind person, a giving person, a powerful person, a person who encourages other people, who influences other people, who inspires other people. It has to be the result of his wisdom that he becomes a very good person. So that's where wisdom takes you. Wisdom has to affect you. Otherwise, if it's not affecting you, then it's just it's not really wisdom. It's not really Torah. Shloi ye adam kiri v'shoyru beit ba'avivir rabbi. Right? Said Rava, that's the goal of Chochmah, that a person should not say that he's a Torah scholar, and then he reads and he learns Gemara, and then he kicks his rabbi or he kicks his father. He just disregards and is very disrespectful to his parents and his teachers. That can't be that he's absorbing Torah. And on that, the verse says, "Lelum dehim, leinem." And this, the sages say, if it says that Torah gives life, it doesn't say Torah gives life to those who learn it. It says Torah gives life to those who do it. Torah is about doing. So therefore, Torah has to come together with mitzvahs. They go hand in hand. You can't have the one without the other. Torah without action is not Torah. And the Midrash also, Shmois Rabbah, call me Shuhu Yodea Teva Ein Oise, it says someone who knows Torah but doesn't fulfill it, Mutav Lo Shelo Yotzelo Elam, better he wasn't born. Better that he wasn't born. Ela Nefcha Shili Al Ponav, it would have been good had he been choked by the afterbirth. When he was being burned, the baby that's coming to the world, if the placenta, if this baby is going to be living a life where he's going to learn Torah and not fulfill it, better that he should have been strangled, or should have been choked, by his own placenta. V'cheinu b'vik rabba u'tanchuma, and simply brought in other midrashim. U'b'zoi shmois, it says, kol man dishtadl b'raisa b'hai alma, it says, anyone who toils in Torah in this world, m'sagil uvdin tavim, and he gathers for himself, he collects for himself good deeds, he has many, many good deeds, he learns Torah, and he does many beautiful good deeds, yaris alma shleima, he will inherit a full world. Now that's part of being the full person, that he studies, but he also fulfills. It's all part of the wholeness of a person. The person, the whole person. So the wholeness affects the whole personality, the actions as well as the mind, as well as the thoughts, as well as the words. So he will inherit an entire world, a whole world, right? However, anyone who learns Torah in this world, v'loy avid uvdin tavin, but he doesn't do good deeds. Someone learns, but he doesn't do any good deeds. He doesn't inherit. He doesn't get this world, and he doesn't get the next world either. This world he's also going to lose. In this world also it'll be miserable for him. The Rebbe says there, that's only speaking specifically to someone who has no good deeds at all. But someone has some good deeds. He is doing good deeds. Maybe he spends more time learning, but he does do good deeds as well. He just likes to spend most of his time learning. So then that person would get both. But we're talking about a person who removes himself from all good deeds, so he loses everything. Says in the morning, Avodah Zarah, even stronger than anyone who only occupies himself in Torah alone. It's like he has no God. It's just like he's learning a theory. He's learning about ancient civilizations. He's an archaeologist learning Torah for curiosity's sake. So therefore, it's like he has no God. He is considered a heretic and apikoros, and he cuts himself off from Hashem, and he cuts himself off from the world to come. He built kim mitzvah hashem solom and dover b'meir. Because without fulfilling the mitzvahs, the person's not going to take the mitzvah, he's not going to fulfill the mitzvahs, so there's nothing for which the Torah to hold on to. The Torah needs to hold on to something physical. As we live in a physical world, the Torah has to take hold of us. And we are physical beings in a physical world. How does Torah, which is a spiritual entity, take hold of us? So there must be something. So it's specifically through the mitzvah, through the actions, the Torah actions, that the Torah can take hold of us. So that the divine presence can rest on us, can hover on us, and soak into us. It's like a light without a wick. And if you, let's say you have a lamp, you have a container with oil, but you don't have a wick. So you can light it all day. It's not going to light. You have to have a wick. The wick is the connector between the oil and the light. The light can be in the physical realm only if it can attach itself to a wick. So the wick is the connector. The wick is what connects us. However, we have to know that even though the light requires the wick, in other words, the Torah requires actions in order to be in our lives in this world. It has to connect to us through actions, the fact that we live Torah, the fact that we keep Shabbos, the fact that we eat kosher. So we do the actions of the Torah. Through that, the light can attach itself. However, we have to know that it's only really the Torah that's the life force. The Torah is really the force of the mitzvahs. And the Torah is really what's, even though the Torah needs the mitzvahs, but really the Torah is what gives force to the mitzvahs. And that's what it says in Perek HaTorah. Great is Torah that it gives life to those who do it. So we've got the combination of the two, the Torah with the mitzvahs. It doesn't say it gives life to those who learn it, or loisker, those who engage in it. Eloisea, to those who do it. Those who do Torah, they receive the life of the Torah. The Torah gives eternal life, and it gives holiness. Those who will do the mitzvahs that are written in the Torah, so they're getting the life force of the Torah. The other way around as well. If, however, a person only does mitzvahs, and he doesn't learn any Torah. So in other words, we said the one without the other is no good. So someone learning without doing mitzvahs is no good. And the other way around is also no good. Even if a person's a big tzaddik, he does all the mitzvahs beautifully, he does them beautifully. But Eino Isik B'Torah, he doesn't learn at all. He doesn't learn at all, but he does the mitzvahs. He does all the mitzvahs. Ein B'Yodek Klum Chas V'Sholem, he has nothing. He's left with empty hands. Just to do mitzvahs without engaging in Torah is to be left with nothing. Ratam B'Zeh, Gam came, Kemoshin Ismail El, as we explained before, the same reason as we explained before, Shah Mitzvah bin Kor Shor Sham, and that is because the mitzvah, in terms of the root, of the source of their roots, Kshurusat Luis, Psidu, Pirka, Mekova, Yulobis, Kriks, El Yunim, it's all arranged and it's all connected to the arrangement of the divine chariot. We speak about the divine chariot, which represents the forces of upper worlds, and each mitzvah is connected to a different part. A different part of that chariot, one of the different parts of the chariot. Whereas the chariot itself gets its life force from the Torah, which is way, way higher, way, way above the chariot. It comes from a place that's beyond all worlds and all forces that exist, any force that exists through certainly the physical world, but even through the spiritual world, all those forces are below the Torah. The Torah itself is a life force, is a source for all force. It's the Torah that spreads through them all. All forces in the world, all worlds, all types of arrangements of different energies, of strengths of different worlds. The life force that's like the blood rushing through the veins, just like the blood rushes through the veins of a person's body, and it's the life force of the entire body. Wherever the blood doesn't reach, the person can lose that organ. If there's no blood reaching his hand, the hand will shrivel up and die. It'll fall away. So therefore, it's the life force, just like the blood is the life force for the person's body. So that's the two is the life force for the entire universe. They receive all of their life force, they receive all of their holiness, the very, very holy worlds, the very, very lofty worlds that also have a holiness. That holiness also comes from the Torah. And therefore, it's the Torah specifically that gives the life force and the holiness and the light to all of the mitzvahs. Everything is dependent on the Torah. Chapter 31. Mizeatam Gamken, for this reason also Esekaterihi Mahaperis Alavunish and Nefesh Achuites. For this reason also engaging in Torah will atone for the sins of a person who has sinned. Right? The sins of a person who's done averus, who's done sins in this world, the Torah can atone for all of his sins. Kamaim Chazal, our sages have taught. My Dichsiv. Right, the Gemara asks there, why does the verse say Zois Hatira La Oila Lamin Chulachatis? This is the Torah for the burnt offering, for the meal offering, for the sin offering. Right? Why does it say this is the Torah of? This is the Torah of. The Gemara asks, why does it say it in that way? This is the Torah of the burnt offering, the meal offering, the sin offering. The conclusion of the Gemara over there is, Shekola Isik B'Torah, that anyone engages in Torah, Ain Torah Loila Oila Loila Minchul Echatis V'Lilasha. Someone engages in Torah, he doesn't ever need a burnt offering. He doesn't need a meal offering. He doesn't need a sin offering. He doesn't need a guilt offering. But if he's engaged in Torah, he doesn't need any of the offerings. He doesn't have to bring sacrifices. The Chedu B'Tanchuma, so it says in the Tanchuma of Shmoyis Rabbah, Chu Imachem Dvorim Ushuv El Hashem. It says over there, it's a posuk. But based on that posuk, it says, take words and return to Hashem. Take words means words of Torah. Take words of Torah and return to Hashem. Just use the words. Let the words carry you. Let the words be your tshuva. If a person's learning Torah, that's the ultimate tshuva. The fish Yisrael Oimrim. And the reason why this teaching is taught is because what did the Jewish people say? The Jewish people says, Ani imanu, we are paupers. And anu lavi kol bonus, we are paupers. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So how are we going to get? How are we going to bring sacrifices? How will we receive an atonement for our sins? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We can't bring sacrifices. So the Midrash comes to say that Hashem has a response to that. Omele HaKadosh Baruch Hashem says to the Jewish people, Dvorim ani mevakesh mimchem. I want words. I want your words. Say Torah. Say Torah. Give me your words. And I'll give you a full atonement. Give me words. Give me Torah. And I will forgive you all of your sins. Amazing thing. Give me Torah and Torah. And I will forgive you all your sins. What do you mean words? What words? Words of Torah. And also it says there in the Tanchuma and Parshas V'Yakel about the Aron HaKodesh. Now we know that in the famous teaching of our sages that the Kohanim used to carry the ark, but really it was the ark that carried the Kohanim, right? As you might imagine, it's a heavy thing to carry. No, the ark actually carried them. But the Midrash explains, what does it mean that the ark carried them? It's not so much that the ark carried them physically, that wasn't the main point. The main point is as follows, it carried their sins. It bore their sins, it carried their sins. And what do you mean the ark was carrying them? It was carrying all their sins. The person's sins are sins, the sins of a person could kill him. But the ark was carrying them, means that the ark was carrying their sins. Shatei Shaboy, Noisav, and essentially Israel, the ark carried the sins, not only of the Kohanim were carrying them, but all the whole of Israel were carried. The ark, the Torah itself, is able to put up with our sins, it's able to bear our sins, because we're engaged in Torah. So that's our free ticket. That basically cleans us of all our sins. Someone who's done many, many sins. The consul of Misa, and heavens have decreed death on this person. He's a big sinner. He's done many grave sins. And the heavens have decreed for him death. the chazav asa tshuva, and then this person repented and he wants to fix up his sins, he wants to do tshuva. The koyre Torah neviim ksuvim, and he sits and learns. He learns from the Torah, he learns from the prophets, he learns from the writings. Vashana Mishnah, Midrash, Halachas, Agadas, he learns some Mishnah, he learns some Midrash, he learns Halachas, he learns Gemara. Vashimesh Chachamim, he goes to his classes, he learns from the way sages, he goes to listen to the classes of the rabbis. Afilu Nigzer Alav Meir Gezeris, even if 100 decrees have been put out against him, this guy's got 100 prison sentences. It's not just prison sentences, death sentences. He's got 100 death sentences. If he occupies himself in Torah, Hashem is prepared to forgive them all. Hashem will just wipe it all away. How much people need to be looking at the works of Hashem? And how much do they need to be looking at the words of the Torah? Anyone who engages in Torah, it's like he brings all of the sacrifice, all the sacrifice, the whole list, the whole range. Someone who learns Torah, engages in Torah, it's like he brings all of the sacrifices of the world, the kamed, the kutshabricha, before Hashem. He brings all the sacrifices before Hashem. Below eid, ele, the kutshabrichu, mechapele, al kol choy voy. Moreover, Hashem will forgive him all of his sins. Hashem will wipe out all of his sins. Masakin le kama kusan bil almadas, and he will fix for him a number of thrones in the world to come. In the merit of his Torah study, right, he will have thrones. He will have throne rooms. He will have wonderful worlds and the wonderful reward in the world to come. The gama oisan avoinus hachamurim, even if it's very, very severe sins. Sometimes a person does very severe sins. She'ena korbonus mechapim, where sometimes sacrifices don't help. Sacrifices are limited. Now, there's certain, for instance, a person breaks Shabbos by accident. Shoigeg. So then he can bring a sacrifice. He does it on purpose. There's no sacrifice. There's no korban for someone who breaks Shabbos on purpose. So even those sins where sacrifices don't help, korbanos can't help anymore, Esek HaTorah Mechaperes, however, engaging in Torah will atone for a person. Kmo she'amru Chazal, the Bnei Eli, it says about the sons of Eli. The sons of Eli, Eli was the Godel Hador. He was the Kohen Godel. At the time, at the end, right, in his time was when Shiloh was destroyed. Shiloh was where the temple originally was. When they came to Eretz Israel, they conquered Eretz Israel. So they set up the Mishkan, the tabernacle, in Shiloh. And it stood there for 380 years. Not bad. However, when Eli was the Kohen Gadol, he had two sons who went totally off the path. They were doing terrible things. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed them. They lost their lives. We know that the Aron HaKodesh was captured by the Plishtim until they gave it back. But it says there about the Bnei Eli, the verse says there, Bezevach Mincha, the Gemara says that Hashem said he would not forgive them, not with any sacrifice or any meal offering. So that's an interesting verse. It says Hashem said, I will not sacrifice them, not them, nor their seed, nor any of their descendants. Their descendants were all destined to live early lives. We know that Abai and Rova, mentioned the Gemara, they were supposed to die young because they were descendants of Eli. They were sins of Eli. So therefore, the pasuk there says, "Bezevach mincha," there is no atonement for them, neither with sacrifices nor with meal offerings. But the Gemara dashens on that pasuk, "Bezevach mincha da en meskape." It's specifically for sacrifice and meal offerings that don't have an atonement. Av meskape hu b'divrei Torah. It says with the sacrifice they don't have an atonement, implying but with Torah they always have an atonement. With Torah, a person can always receive atonement. V'chein amru. So the Gemara says in Megillah. Greater is study of Torah more than bringing the daily offering. The daily offering was unbelievable sacrifice. Every single day they brought the daily offering. They brought it, whether it was Shabbos. You're allowed to break Shabbos to bring the daily offering, right? They had to slaughter the animal. How do you slaughter an animal on Shabbos? You can't. But because it's a sacrifice, it overrides Shabbos. So that was the greatness of the Tamid. Every single day, even on Shabbos, even on Yom Tov, even on Yom Kippur, they would bring the Tamid. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, but learning Torah is greater even than the Talmud. The Zohar says in Parashat Tzav, Tachazi, Bada man de loi berais, is someone who engages and learns Torah. Lo itzterich lo lekorbanin velo alavon. He doesn't need sacrifice, he doesn't need burnt offerings. Daraisa adif mikula, because Torah is better than all of the sacrifices. B'kshura de nemusa de kula, and it is attached to a Kodesh Baruch Hu more than them all. It gets much higher, much closer. So with Torah, a person comes very, very much closer to Hashem than he could do with a sacrifice. Vadak siv, and on that it's written on Dath HaTorah, right? These are the verses that we say when we take out the Torah. Dakeh Dakeh Noyam. her ways are ways of pleasantness. The ways of Torah are ways of pleasantness. Why? Because they bring us to pleasantness. They bring us to this tremendous closeness to Hashem, which is, so therefore that's the pleasantness of the Torah. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. And also the verse says, there's Shalom Rav Lo Yivesu Secho. There's another verse, a verse we say in Tehillim. It says, great peace, great serenity, great harmony, peace. Shalom Rav, great peace, Lo Yivesu Secho, to those who love Torah. A person who's got, he's got a very hectic life. He's got a very upsetting life. All sorts of problems, all sorts of tzoras, all sorts of issues and headaches. Here it says about he should learn Torah also. Because it says, great peace. Shalom Rav, Lo Yivesu Secho, to those who love your Torah. The Einan Lama Michshol, and they have no stumbling blocks. Stumbling blocks are removed. So if you want to drive down the highway, with big rocks on the highway, you can't go too fast. Every few meters, you have to get out of your car and you have to pull the rocks off the highway. But if a person's learning Torah, so then on the highway of Torah, there are, that's an autobahn, right? There's no rocks at all. You just go 180 miles an hour. That's all. It's a clear highway. That's if a person's learning Torah, so he gets to the highest of places on a clear road. There are no obstacles along the road. Of the Parshas Kedoshim, also the Zohar says, in Parshas Kedoshim, Bezevach u'Mincha, we said before that there was no atonement for the sons of Eli with sacrifices or meal offerings. Of a Miskapehu b'divrei Torah, there also is another source that says that however there is an atonement, there's no atonement for with sacrifices, but there is an atonement with learning. Amai begin the divrei Torah sulkin al kol korbonon d'almin, because that is because the Torah, words of Torah, go up much, much higher than all of the sacrifice. Wherever a sacrifice can go in terms of a higher world, a heavenly world, the person brings a sacrifice, it goes very, very high. The effect is beyond this physical world into very high spiritual worlds. As high as a sacrifice can go, Torah can go much higher. Like the verse tells us, this is the Torah for the burnt offering, the meal offering, the sin offering. Shakil arise the kabel kol kubanin d'alma. We should know that the Torah has the weight, has the importance of all the sacrifices together. And the Rama who was teaching this in the Zohar, he commented as well. He says, certainly this is the truth. Kol mandi shtadl baraisa, anyone who's engaging in Torah, afal gav disgaza le oinshin mileilo, even though great punishments have been decreed on him from the heavens, because this person has been doing terrible things. Still, this will soothe him. This will be a healing for him, more than all the sacrifices and all the burnt offerings. And that punishment can be ripped up, being torn up. Any decree that is against the person, if he's going to be engaging in Torah, so those decrees will be ripped up. Come and see. People are only purified. This wants to be purified. He wants to get to higher worlds. Get to higher worlds, you've got to be purified. You can't come in with schmutz on you. You can't get in there with the schmutz on you. So once a person wants to be purified, a person is purified. The best type of purification is with words of Torah. Right? The Torah is called holiness. He wants to come to a place of holiness. The Torah is called holiness. We say the Holy Torah. That's from the place of holiness. Ki kodesh ani Hashem. The Torah itself is called holiness. There's one passage that says, I am holy, says Hashem. And that verse that says, I am holy, says Hashem, is, we know that Hashem and the Torah are one and the same. So therefore, that verse that says, I am holy, says Hashem, Veda Oraisa. And that's referring to the Torah. When Hashem says, I am holy, it's referring to the Torah. Dehishma, the Kedusha, Eloh. It is the name. The Torah is the name of the Holy One above. Adam man yishtadl bei yistakeh. And therefore, one who engages in Torah is purified. And Abasa is Kaddish, and after he's purified, he's sanctified. He becomes holy. After he's purified, all the schmutz is removed, then he is elevated and he's sanctified. Tana Kucha Tana. Right? We learned in the Brisa, we learned in this teaching, Kedusha the Raisa, Kedusha the Silikas al Kol Kedushin. The holiness of the Torah is a holiness that goes beyond any other holiness. Any type of holiness, the holiness of the Torah goes way beyond that. Of a midrash hanelam, also one of the kabbalistic midrashim teaches as follows: Amru botla korbonos lo botla Torah. It says over there that even though all the sacrifices were nullified once the temple was destroyed, we lost the ability to bring sacrifices. We don't have that nowadays. So it says there in the midrash, the sacrifices were nullified, but the Torah wasn't nullified. Hashem took away sacrifices; He never took away Torah. Hayde lo yasek but korbonos liyasek b'Torah. Someone who can't engage in sacrifices. Right, there's no temple. Right, there's no temple. Let him engage in Torah. Yatir, and it'll help him even more than the sacrifices. Right, Hashem says, let them engage in Torah, I will forgive them their sins on account of the Torah. Yosem ikol hakorbanos shebo'ila more than all the sacrifice in the world. Shenema, as the pasuk says, zois hatira lo'ila means that this is the Torah for a burnt offering, for a meal offering. But the Torah itself is much more than the burnt offering and the meal offering. Zois hatira bishvil oila. This is the Torah for an oila. Instead of an oila, instead of bringing burnt offering, he said, learn. This is the Torah for an oila, meaning this is the Torah that you can learn instead of bringing an oila. Bishvil amincha, instead of bringing a meal offering, you've got Torah. Amarav krus bedoi. Rabbi Kurs Bedoy used to say, "Hi man, the midka b'pumei b'bate knesset b'bate midrashos." But Rabbi Kurs Bedoy says that anyone who speaks out with his mouth in the shuls, in the base of midrash, in yonder kubanai, is learning about the matters of sacrifices. Now, to learn the Torah of the sacrifices is very holy Torah. It speaks about very, very lofty concepts. So, one who learns the laws of the sacrifices in the shuls and in the yeshivas. Bris Krusahu, there's a covenant, there's a promise has been made. Someone who learns the laws of the sacrifices, a promise has been made, there's a covenant, the Inun Melachai, the Matkar and Choyve Lavashale, that those angels that are appointed on mentioning our sins in the upper courts, in the heavenly courts, those angels who record all of our sins in order to harm us, right? Because the heavens can't exact punishment until there's been a ruling. The heavenly courts have to rule. So therefore you have angels who have records of our sins. They write everything down. They've got it all recorded. So those sins, those angels that are appointed on mentioning all of our sins before the heavenly courts, so those angels that are the angels that harm us, that hurt us, if a person's learning Torah, then those angels can't hurt us at all. They can only help us. Those angels lose their entire power to accuse us and to condemn us. They can only come to be advocates for us and to praise us. And that's that they can only do goodness for us. That's all in the merit of learning Torah. But Amru Oid, the Perek Beis, the Brochas also says in the second chapter of Brochas, and Tanaz in Yahus, right? Lama Nismacho Ilim Le Necholim. Why does the Torah? There's a verse that speaks about tents and rivers. Right? It's a pasuk from Bamidbar. He brings it on the next line. Dichsiv kincholim nitoyu, like winding rivers, ko'elim not Hashem, and like the tents that Hashem plants. So it speaks about the rivers and tents in this verse in Bamidbar. Lo melecho, to teach you. Ma'necholim malim sadom itum elatar, just like rivers can elevate a person from being contaminated, becoming pure, because a river can be served as a mikveh. A person goes into a river, he dips in the river, and it elevates him from being tome, from being contaminated, to become tohor. Af oilim malim es ha'odom mikaf choyv l'kaf sur. So to the tents. The tents refers to the tents of Torah. Just like the rivers, the mikvehs can take a person from contamination to purity, so to the tents of the Torah, when a person sits and learns, it also elevates a person from being liable to being meritorious. Chapter 18 over there, also there's a verse that says, pour out your hearts to me like water. Pour out your hearts to me, Hashem says, like water. So why does it refer to water? What's the idea of water? Well, I mentioned water. Pour your heart out like water. Why like water? Why like water? Ma'am halolu mikveh tarid hen Yisrael. Because since water represents a pure mikveh, a person wants to purify himself, he goes to the mikveh. So just like water, he represents a mikveh of purity, a mikveh, a gathering of water, which purifies the Jewish people. The chol asher nivra bo'ilam, right? And the mikveh has ability to purify all sorts of things. Right? Kach divrei Torah, so to the words of Torah. You know, pour out your heart means pour out your heart like water, and let it, you know, pour out your heart with words of Torah, that'll be like the water. So too says, say the sages, so to words of Torah, mikveh Torah in Israel, they are a purifying mikveh for the Jewish people. B'chol mekoymes wish v'sem, wherever he is, wherever a person is, right, it's not so hard. You take a little book with you, wherever you are, waiting in a line in the supermarket, or you're waiting in a line in the post office or the bank, right, you open up a book, you have Torah with you. Mamish, wherever you are, you take out a Torah. And it's an amazing thing, sometimes you're in a line, and the line's going very, very slowly. Once you start learning, all of a sudden it clears. You know, the Satan doesn't like us learning Torah. So suddenly you're in the front of the line. You start learning. Suddenly everything's moving for you. That's that we see when you start learning. If you can't sleep at night, Right? You say, oh, now I'm going to have a terrible day tomorrow because I can't sleep all night. You start learning, you'll fall straight away to sleep. The Satan doesn't like us learning Torah, but the Torah actually opens the gates and the doors for us to all types of blessings, all types of wonderful things for ourselves, all sorts of special heavenly gifts.
What's the connection between water and Torah?
That's what we just said. The water purifies, the Torah purifies. The water is the mikvah purifies.
Come and see how great is the power of Torah. How great is the power of Torah that it purifies the sinners of Israel. If they will do tshuva, if they repent, if they want to change their ways, they want to improve themselves, even if they've been idolaters, even if they've been serving idols, I will throw on you purifying waters and you will be pure. Because the main tshuva, the main repentance a person does is a repentance that comes from love. We know that a person repents, he wants to return to Hashem, he wants to repent out of love. So we know if you repent out of love, the Rambam writes, if you repent out of love, then even your sins become like mitzvahs. So the main ingredient of real tshuva is love, that you want to come close to Hashem, you have a love for Hashem, you want to connect to Hashem. So that's the most positive, the most powerful type of tshuva, the most powerful type of tshuva is the one with love. Where's the love come from? The love comes from the connection. And what creates the connection between us and Hashem is Torah. The Torah basically gets us into the courtyards. It gets us into the courtyards of Hashem because we're connecting with the thoughts of Hashem. And love is an expression of connection, right? You can't love someone you have no connection with. You through a connection, love grows. So therefore, since tshuva is the most powerful tshuva is the tshuva of love, it's specifically with Torah that we have such a tshuva. It says in Pirkei Avos in the 6th chapter, it says Kol Ha'Osek B'Torah Lishma, anyone engages in Torah Lishma, and it's got a whole list of things that he merits. And one of the things he merits is he becomes Oyevus HaMokim. He becomes a lover of Hashem. The person learns Torah, he becomes a lover of Hashem. It causes him to love Hashem. Torah causes the person to love Hashem. So therefore, if we want to love Hashem, we want to do the ultimate tshuva, the highest type of tshuva, which mamish gets us to very high places. So we have to know that Torah is what brings us to love Hashem. Moshekotsov, and like we say in the daily davening, we say it every day in the davening. What do we say there? The second bracha of the request of the Shmoneh Esrei, we say Hashivena Avinu L'Siras Secho, return us our Father to your Torah, right? V'achzireinu b'tshuva shleima l'fanecha. That's the next line. Return us our Father to our Torah, and then we will return with a complete tshuva before you. If you will return us to your Torah, then we will return with a full tshuva before you. That's the second bracha in the request of the Shmoneh Esrei. So we see again the same idea that if a person wants to do a full tshuva specifically with Torah, that he needs to get to do a full tshuva.